This is the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. Here's your host, Jessica Cootie, and Husker Radio Network analyst, Jeremiah Searles.
Welcome back into the Sideline Slice, presented by our great friends at Valentino's Pizza with Jeremiah Searles. I'm Jessica Cootie. And the big dog was still really, really upset and mad up until pretty much Monday morning.
Yes.
It took you a while to process this one.
This one stung. You know, Usually I'm a, hey, is what it is. I can only control what I can control and move on with it. But this one really hurt. And I mean, I was texting him about it on Sunday. And I think a lot of it was just the feel of the game was so different than the Michigan game. Right. We talked about it after the Michigan game, how we felt like we were never in control of that game. Right. We were constantly trying to play catch up to Michigan and they were kind of dictating the tempo. I felt like leading up into the Dylan Raiola injury, we were in control of this football game. And so to feel like you're in control of a game with a top 25 team at your house, with the blackout, with the atmosphere, with everything that was going for you, and to have two big injuries on the offensive side of the ball kind of derail that whole thing just really, really bugged me. And it made me sad. It made me frustrated. It made me upset. No, but I had a 24-hour rule. I'm back. I'm back Monday morning, back to work, back to controlling what we can control. But yeah, that one still stinks.
You were absolutely juiced on the sideline.
Yeah.
I think if you would have had a maybe, I don't know, if you didn't have any self-control, you would have been running out there on the field. Like you were that fired up.
I mean, yeah, I mean, when Elijah got hurt, I was like, I mean, I could get us out of this game. I was like, I mean, it wouldn't be pretty, but I was like, I could get us out of this game on just the right side. We could leave turnover there. I could sneak Tyler Kanak's jersey on me. Like, I could get us out of this game. But that was the kind of environment that place was on Saturday night. I mean, hats off to Husker Nation. Hats off to everyone that was a part of it, from the stadium ops people to the marketing people. That was so well done. The atmosphere was fantastic. It was not a waste of an atmosphere, depending on what some people might say outside of this place. I thought it was fantastic. It was well done. Obviously, we came up a little short. But yeah, I had so much fun. I had so much juice. And that place was just absolutely on fire.
You down for a blackout game every year?
I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I had so many people text me from friends within the industry, other coaches around the country that were like, dude, you guys got to do this again. Like, that looks sweet on TV. And I haven't rewatched the TV broadcast, but from everything I've talked to and some of the highlights I saw, it looked like a really special place on national TV.
And they had some big time recruits and some big guys. You would have, I don't know if you walked by them, but they had some of your kind of guys down there on the sideline, and they seemed to be really enjoying themselves over there and taking in this atmosphere.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you're a big time recruit right now too, and you watch this offensive line and the injuries and the people that are going to be graduated, there's chance for immediate impact. And so much about what college football is nowadays is, can we come in and are you going to pay me and am I going to play early? And I think if you're a big time offensive line recruit in this university, the answer to both those questions is yes. So yeah, I think they really enjoyed what they saw. What better place can you want to come be? I think that people can look at that and say it's another loss to another top 25 team, all these stuff. But for me, I watched that game and I go, we're in year three of a program that was in the doldrums about 2 years ago. I can see the improvement. I can see the writing on the wall. I think that the arrow is pointed up for what this football team is heading in. We're just missing some pieces still.
We talked last week just about how dangerous this Lincoln Riley offense can be. And you and I both left on Saturday really impressed with the defense and that there were a lot of good things. And they did something. They held USC to their lowest totals and scores and yards. And so a lot of the statistics are pretty mind-blowing. I mean, I think passing yards, lowest passing yards since 2018. I mean, the list goes on and on of what the Nebraska defense was able to do to USC that not very many teams have been able to do. You were pretty ecstatic about the way this defense played on Saturday.
Absolutely. You know, I think that people, I mean, even on Big Red Reaction and even across, you know, some Twitter words right now are like, hey, Nebraska's off defense still can't stop the run. You can't look at that game and lump it in with the totality of what the rest of the season has been. Right. We have struggled to stop the run. Yes. And we did struggle. I think their running back averaged about 7 yards a carry, which is still way too much. But when you look at what we did as a whole from a defensive perspective, we were able to stop that offense. That offense played off rhythm, off schedule for 75, 80% of that game. And a lot of it was from decision-making with Matt Rhule to punt the ball, make them go the distance, understanding the atmosphere and the environment and the cold and making them really have to continue to work chunk plays. Obviously, we get the big turnover there with the interception. We created negative plays, which I talked about last week needing to be done. We were able to get to the quarterback. We were able to pressure him, hit him early, right? Those were the type of things that showed up a little bit more this week than they have been in the past. And so we just have to continue to grow and build off of the stuff that we saw this last week. So if we can continue to do that, I'm excited about where we go because of how young this defense is.
Yeah.
There's so many young players on this defense that you're seeing improvement on a week-to-week basis. I'm not saying we're where we want to be. I'm not saying that we're a finished product. But when you have this many young players playing on the defensive side of the ball, you just want to see continued improvement every single week. And I thought we took a nice step from Northwestern. Right, that was some improvement. We looked better against USC, and now with Dylan Raiola being out and a backup quarterback being in, like, we're going to need to lean on that defense even more than we have up to this point in the season.
Coach Rhule is saying he felt like, and he said this a couple times, he said it on the TV show and then in his press conference, but some of those young guys starting to play some of their best football. You agree?
Yeah, I think some of those young
guys, like Donovan Jones, Rex Guthrie, some of those guys.
Some of those guys are starting to come into their own, right? And you're even seeing some guys like Javen Wright take another step in his game. Right. He had a lot of tackles. He had a lot of coverages. He's taking a step in his game. There's still some guys where I'm kind of poking with a stick, like Ben Popple, go, man. Like, I want to see you take that big jump. Cam Lenhart, go. I want to see you take that big jump. Right. But that's part of playing defense, is when guys around you start elevating their game and they start playing better and they start having more and more confidence and they start making more and more plays. It's pretty contagious when you're a defender to be like, I want to get in on that party. Whether it's a sack party or a TFL party or an interception party, like, I want to get in on that and I want to be a part of that. And so it's why it's the old coach saying, right? The high tide raises all ships. But if you can be on defense and your guys around you are making those plays, you want to start making those plays. So you elevate your game and you elevate your way of practice. And that's how you start becoming a better, better defense and a more disruptive defense as the season goes on.
Well, let's address the elephant in the room. Dylan Raiola out for the season. He was trying so hard to go, but that really, I mean, you said it earlier. I felt it. Like, I think you saw some good things starting to happen, both with a couple of the drives, with the opening drive and the scoring touchdown with Emmett late in the first half. Felt like they were starting to kind of figure some things out, and then it just... That's a hard situation when a guy like Dylan goes down and then two plays later, your left tackle goes down. It's just a really, really tough blow to overcome against a team like USC.
Yeah, I mean, starting with the opening drive of the game, maybe the best drive of the Daniel Holgorsen-Dylan Raiola pairing, honestly. I mean, I think that the way that they had the play call scripted, how they wanted to get to the plays, the formations, the blocking, the execution from start to finish, that was the best, most complete drive of the Holgorsen era and with Dylan at the helm. And then as you got to see the rest of the time go on, you saw what the game plan was. And the game plan was 21's touching the football a lot,
yeah.
Right? Totally all right with that. That is a big piece, because you and I talked about it last week. This USC offense is terrifying if you let them get going. Well, how do you keep them not on the field? You run the football. You control the clock. You play the field game position, the field position game. And so, you know, obviously that was the big interior run. We ran the same play over and over again, that split zone motion, the fullback tight end, have him cut back and move. And then again, running right behind Henry and Justin and Rocco and making those guys run. And I really liked the ability to run the football there. And then also to start the game with high percentage completion throws, the curls to Isaiah Hunter, right? Getting Dylan out of the pocket a little bit, letting him throw the zone read. We threw a lot at USC early in that game. You know, obviously we had our struggles there in the middle. There's been a lot of talk about the 30 seconds left. Why didn't we go for a kill shot and try and go in that piece there? I'm very much okay with Matt Rhule not wanting to press in that moment. You've just held USC to two field goals. You've got a lead going into the halftime.
And the ball coming out.
And the ball coming out. Like, why press in that moment when you've got 30 seconds? You don't want to give USC any chance of a mistake being made. Obviously, our tackles I think it's funny. People scream, why don't we push the ball down the field? And then they also turn right around and go, why can't we protect the quarterback? Like, the two things don't exist for one reason or the other. Like, they coexist for a reason. You can't push the ball down the field and be aggressive if you can't protect the quarterback. And we've had issues protecting the quarterback this year. And so I totally understand Holgorsen and Rule's repeat there. Like, hey, let's not put our quarterback in harm's way. Let's not make a chance of a mistake here in giving USC life. We've done everything right. Let's get into the half and then come back out on the other side. And so you look at it from that way. Then they come out at the half. Obviously, we would love to go get the points. And then we get the big turnover. And then Dylan gets hurt. And then it kind of just all went off the rails from there with Latif going in. And again, everyone's favorite quarterback is the backup quarterback until that quarterback actually has to play. And then you see why he was a backup quarterback. And I'm not saying that Latif's not going to be great this week and go out and do great things. But in that moment, in a game plan built for Dylan Raiola, you can't just scrap the whole game plan and put in the TJ Latif plan on the sideline. That's just not how it works. That's not how football works in general. And so once Latif had to come in the game, Dana Holgorsen was very hamstrung in what he could do. The defense then knew that we were going to be running the football more with Emmett Johnson. We still were able to make some things happen, but we just were clunky and we're hard to get clicking on offense when TJ had to come in.
So how will that change then the approach this week, knowing that TJ is the guy? I mean, I was been asked about it several times. I just think as much as you want to keep the offense a lot of the same elements, there are things that they're different in, right? I mean, there's just you can tailor it more towards TJ and what he does well.
Absolutely. And I mean, and that is the only downside to having two very different skill sets at the quarterback position from starter to backup. You know, one is a true pocket passer, great arm, good accuracy, decision-making, right? That piece there. And then the other one is more that dual threat. So you can't have coexisting game plans. You can't have this game plan for Dylan, this game plan for Latif, because there's just not enough hours in the day. There's not enough practice reps in the week to be able to put both of those game plans in case for contingency something happens. And so this week, I fully expect Dana Holgorsen and company to get with TJ, to get with this offense, go, okay, here's what TJ likes to run. Here's the concepts we want to get to. Here's where we're going to be able to surprise UCLA with some things on tape that we haven't put on tape yet. So we're going to be able to get up on them early with this play, and we're going to be able to get one over, and then that play will lead to this play. It's just a totally different mindset and a totally different game plan when you have a true dual threat quarterback in, and it makes UCLA have to prepare totally different than they would be against Dylan Raiola. And so I do think that early in this game, we have the advantage. Right. If TJ Latif can execute and he can come out and take care of the football and kind of take off where he was against Houston Christian, not really where he ended up in this game, then I think we have a really good chance to get up on UCLA based off of they're not really going to know what we're going to do. And so we'll have the element of surprise. But at the same time, it's not going to look like as complicated as this with Dylan. Dylan has checks and check with me's and getting us lined up in the same play. I anticipate this game plan to be much more simple and for us to play with a little bit more tempo to try and keep UCLA on their heels.
We were texting and we were laughing about the game plan. It's run, 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 QB run. No, Dana Holgorsen talked about it today. People know now that hey, we're going to hand the ball off to 21. He's one of the best running backs in the country. What is it about, you know, especially the offensive line for as maybe people want to hate on them for some of the other issues? They sure do a good job of giving Emmett some space and then letting Emmett kind of take over some things.
Yeah, they've continued to get better interiorly every single week. And that is the strength of this offensive line is the interior three. And Dana knows it. And so Dana has found creative ways of with motions or, you know, with pre-snap alignments or moving guys around to try and just find ways to doctor up different looks to get to similar style plays, which is through the A-gap and the B-gap. And then every now and then you throw the screen pass or, you know, you throw something to keep them honest. But yeah, if you have Emmett Johnson back there, you're going to feed the ball to Emmett Johnson. I mean, that just makes a lot of sense. But the difference being, and this is where it's been hard for Dana, is you want to have that ability to hand it, play action, deep shot, take the top off the defense. And we had that a little bit with Dylan. We still never really got to it because, again, the protection issues. But the offensive line from a run-blocking standpoint has gotten better every week. And when you have that back like that, it just makes you want to strive to be better every week because he is so special.
Did you see the play? I think it was a pass play. I a lot of times don't see a lot of the plays on the sideline because I'm watching kind of the other things that unfold that, you know, the guys in the booth can't see. But when I go back and watch a lot of it for the TV show, there was one play where it was a quick pass play to Emmett, and Henry Lutowski is blocking like three people on the sideline.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it was great. Henry's really coming to his own. And again, there's been no bigger Henry fan on this show than me for the last 4 years. Greg used to give me hell for it all the time, right? But I was just like, man, if Henry can figure it out and put it together, he's got all the skill sets to be an NFL caliber offensive lineman. And it's finally started to click this year for him. He's got the length. He's starting to play the game slowing down for him. He's playing in the physicality. He's being a leader, right? So seeing him kind of come into his own realm on that piece has been really fun to watch there. And then obviously Rocco's that leader and that warrior. And then Justin has kind of settled the ship there at center. So I love what those interior three are doing. Obviously, we have tons of questions on the outside. Tyler Kanak came in, hats off to him, in a very tough moment, tough environment, to be able to come in and play. And he handled his own. I mean, he definitely had his licks and he definitely had some things he's got to clean up. But for the most part, it wasn't a total disaster. Right, which is what you're worried about when you're on your fourth tackle coming into the game against USC and the athletes they had on the edge. Right, you're just like, hey, trial by baptism, baptism by fire, baby. Let's see what happens. And I thought that he handled himself pretty well. Again, he's now put things out on tape that UCLA will see. So he's got to start preparing himself like a starter and being able to understand that every single week you're going to see something new from the weaknesses that you put on tape during that last game.
Valentino's, a slice of home you just can't get anywhere else. What started with a treasured family recipe has become a Nebraska tradition for over 68 years. Proud to be the official pizza of the Huskers.
Okay, so let's talk UCLA. Again, a team that started off, they fired their coach, and then they've kind of rallied, and 3-5 overall and 3-2 in the conference, and Coach Rule was very complimentary of them. But what are you seeing out of UCLA? Another team coming off a bye week. How does that work, by the way?
Yeah, I know. That seems – but no, I cannot put my thumb on this UCLA team, Jess. I've watched them, and there's times where you're like, this looks like a high school football team. And then there's times where you watch them and go, okay, that's all the talent that we knew was on this team, but now it's showing up. But it's so inconsistent. It's so inconsistent on both sides of the ball, right? You're either going to get their best or their worst. There's really no in between. There is no like battle tested four quarters. We're going to drag this thing out. It's kind of been throttled down or get throttled. And so with Nebraska, you need to make sure that with a team like this, you have to just continue to understand it's going to be kind of sleepy in the Rose Bowl. Right, it's not a crazy environment like you're coming out of. You got to bring your own energy there. Like, there's not a lot of excitement about UCLA football right now. So when you get to that big stadium, that's super cool and neat, and you're like, it's kind of empty.
Yeah,
and there's not really a lot of people here. Like, it's a very weird feeling. And I remember playing there. Like, Nebraska fans obviously travel great, and it's going to be a lot of red. But you have to bring your own energy to this team, because if you don't, you can kind of fall into their trap of that lull, and then they do have really good athletes on that team that can go out and make plays.
I went with Oklahoma in 2019 when Jalen Hurts was the quarterback, and it was a home game for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
There were so many Sooner fans in
California.
When
we went in 2012, it was the same way. It was an absolute home game for Nebraska.
I mean, there's a huge fan base out in California, so I think there will be a lot of Husker fans there. But yeah, it's not like it's going to be a rocking atmosphere. It might be a little Marylandish, maybe, you know, or there you've got quite a few Husker fans, but it's definitely not going to be a packed to the brim kind of environment.
Yeah, so you got to bring your own energy. You got to make sure that you're very disciplined on defense. This quarterback can run. Obviously, he can get out. So we got to make sure we continue to set edges, which at times last week we didn't again. You know, and so I know that's going to drive John Butler nuts of not being able to set edges.
What do you mean by that? Break that down for folks. Set the edges.
Yeah. So, you know, every defense, you have to have at least one guy that is a contained guy, whether it's a corner, a safety, or the defensive end. And your job is to, it's the same thing I tell my 6-year-olds that play defensive. I go, what's your job? And they look at me and go, nothing outside. Right. And so it's the same thing at a base level at 5-man flag football as it is at the NFL level. Someone has contained. Someone's job is nothing is allowed to get outside me. It's my job to put a wall on the defense and funnel the ball carrier, whether it's quarterback, the running back, a receiver on a reverse, whatever it might be. It is my job to funnel them back inside to my help. And last week against Northwestern, this week against USC, we lost our edges way too many times, whether it was Jordan Maiava pulling it on the sides there, whether it was Woody Mark getting on the edge or the running back getting on the edge, like whatever it was, we just lost our edge. And you can't do that. It's a cardinal sin as a defense, because that's when the explosive plays come. Because if you are schematically the last man in defense on the edge, if they get that edge, there's no one else there for a long way, just built off how the scheme is built for that play call. So we have to continue to shore up our edges. We haven't in the last 2 weeks. UCLA has seen that. We're going to get our edges tested early against UCLA.
Is that just a kind of brain fart thing, or what is it? Like, why does that continue to be a problem?
It's hard to say it's just a brain fart. It's a mental error. A lot of times what it is the it can get confusing, right, with misdirection and guys moving around, and you're going, hey,
like,
I want to make sure.
Who's the guy? Which one?
Like, I'm giving effort if the balls are coming away from me, right? If it's ball away, I got to continue to push and give effort while also keeping my edge. And sometimes, like, you get ball faked and you think, oh, ball's going that way. And then the guy pulls it and then you're out leverage. Sometimes it is just a mental error of I picked wrong, right? I thought I could make inside move and still get contained. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, never mind. No, I couldn't, right? And that's a mental error. And sometimes you just get blocked. Right. Sometimes you just get blocked. And the thing is about that is you just can't. And I know it's not a fair answer. It's not a great answer. But the coaching point is, hey, you can't get reached here. Like, you can't. That's what you're paid to do. You cannot get reached here. You are the edge setter. And so you can't let that tackle reach you, or that tight end pin you, or that running back run up on you. You have to find a way to set the edge. And I think that there's just some lacks of that. And all three of those things have happened to our Nebraska defense over the last 2 weeks.
All right. Well, how about Nico? I mean, he leads the team in rushing. He's thrown 10 touchdown passes and has 7 interceptions, a guy that you could maybe force to make some mistakes, right? But you got to contain him when he runs, when he uses his feet.
Yeah, I mean, he's good for throwing 2 or 3 balls up a game that are going to be very going gettable balls. And we have to make sure that when that happens, we have to take it out of the air. Because with a young offensive coach, or excuse me, with a young quarterback on the road, anytime we can shorten the field for him, the better. If we can get a turnover and get the ball at the 50 instead of at the 35 or the 20 or the 10, that's going to be huge. And so making sure that we take advantage of those balls that he will throw that are not even really 50-50 balls. They're just bad decision balls. And he does at least 2 or 3 of them a game. We have to, our pass defense has to make sure we come up with those. And then, yeah, I mean, Bryce Underwood hurt us with his legs on the big run. He can hurt us with his legs on the big run. I think he's a better passer than Bryce Underwood is at this current moment. So the hard thing with a movable quarterback like that is as he escapes the pocket and gets on the run, especially going to his throwing side, you have to make this decision of, do I come up and get him or do I stay on my man? And he makes that really hard to do for linebackers specifically of, hey, do I come forward? And he's good at baiting them to come forward and then dumping it over the top of their heads to a linebacker, to a tight end or a wide receiver coming across. So big thing here is rush lanes are going to be really important. Hey, make sure we're not finding ourselves above the quarterback if we're playing defensive end, Winari, McCullough. Like, hey, if you get to the depth of the quarterback, you have to stop and start squeezing the pocket instead of running around the pocket. Because if you run around the pocket, he's going to be able to escape underneath and go get outside the pocket. That's not what you want to have him on the run.
Have you been a part of a team that starting quarterback goes down and you got to get a backup ready?
Yeah, Taylor Martinez, my senior year.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Taylor Martinez, my senior year. We're sitting there trying to get everything rocking and rolling. We're going to feel really good. Taylor kicks a locker after the Wyoming game and has a toe, and kind of everything went off the rails from there. But, you know, the biggest difference there was we had a very veteran offensive line. All of us were seniors, right? We'd all played a lot of football. Tommy Armstrong was a freshman. And so we just said, hey, we'll take care of it. You just worry about not turning the football over. Right. And so that's a big piece of when you have the young quarterback, you got to make sure the people around him understand what is his responsibility, because everyone that's been an old player has been a young player at one point in their career. Right. If you're a junior and a senior, you remember what it's like to be a freshman and to play and to be how hard that is and the nerves and just the physicality and everything's happening so fast. And it's just a lot, especially the quarterback position. So you have to be able, whether it's Key or Hunter or Emmett and Rocco, to look at TJ Latif and be like, buddy, we got you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we got you on anything that you need. Like, don't be afraid to ask during the week. Don't be afraid to ask during the game, right? Like, we are here to help you. We lean on us, right? You don't have to put the Superman cape on and go do it yourself. In fact, we don't want you to do that because you'll probably lose us the game if you do that. Just play within the system, rely on the other 10 guys around you, and let's go out and do this thing together.
It's funny. Dana Holgorsen basically said the exact same thing in his press conference today about having last year they didn't really have those older guys, and Dylan was trying to be that, but Dylan just wasn't ready to be that kind of guy. But they have those guys now with Dane Key, Rocco Spindler, Emmett, you know, those kinds of guys that, and they're going to have to do that, and everybody has to elevate their game. And so I was going to just ask, like, could this be a big time rallying point? Because I really feel like this team, it could really bring this team together to rally around TJ, because he is very well liked, and they do have a lot of belief in him.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, that's kind of the lightning rod sometimes the backup quarterback can bring in, and everyone has to pay attention to the details more because the quarterback's not going to be able to bail him out if something happens, right? So you have to make sure that nothing gets missed this week from an offensive point of view. Everyone is very comfortable with the game plan. Everyone fully understands the responsibilities on a play-in and play-out basis, understands that things will go wrong, right? When you have a young quarterback, at one point in time, something's going to go wrong, whether it's a turnover or a missed snap or goes the wrong way, and just understand that that's going to be part of it. Can't get flustered with it. Can't let it derail the next play. Just, okay, flush it, move on, get to the next piece of it there. And that's easier said than done, but it is something that if you're an older player like Rock and those guys, you know how to ride those ebbs and flows. It's bringing the young players along with you as those bad things happen, and they can get the starry-eyed look in their eyes, be like, hey, man, it's okay. It's all right. A lot of football left. Let's stay with it. On to the next play, and just building that. And that's just going to keep going as the culture continues to grow here too.
All right, let's get to your keys for a Husker victory in this one against UCLA.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest one is pre-snap penalties, pre-snap penalties, and just the operation pre-snap wise with the new quarterback is going to be really important, right? Matt Rhule's been thrown down the street this week for using a bunch of timeouts when he had the backup quarterback in. Well, I'm totally understand why that happened, right? But now that he has had a full week to say, hey, this is how the play call gets in, this is how we get it to the huddle, and it's not training camp anymore where it's just kind of going along, but there's a true 40 second clock, right? And there's true ramifications of not getting the ball off on time and penalties. So having a very clean operation outside of the play is going to be really important on the offensive side of the ball, because it might be loud, you're on the road, different environment, it's not your home. Right. So key is making sure that we have a very clean operation from coach to player, player to the huddle, huddle to the snap count before the ball is snapped. Defensively, kind of like they talked about, we have to create turnovers. We have to create turnovers, whether it's stripping the ball, intercepting the ball, but winning the turnover battle against UCLA is going to be massive for us here. And then special teams, get back on track. I think USC did a fantastic job of taking the special teams out of the game last week and understanding, hey, this special teams has brought Nebraska back from what seemed like the brink of death a few times. They flipped the momentum, right? They've done a lot of things. USC was like, we're just not going to do that. We're going to pound the ball in the back of the end zone. We're not going to punt to them. Like, we're going to do a bunch of different things. So special teams, if you become a weapon like that, you might not get all the swings at the bat that you're used to getting. So on the ones that you do, make sure you go out and make something special.
I was going to ask you about that, because I kind of was worried about that from the start when Ja'Cory Barney was going off. Like, at some point, teams are going to stop giving him the opportunity to return the punts. And you could sense a little bit of that frustration, I thought, on the sideline, because they weren't getting those kinds of opportunities. So you just, I guess that's what you just said. You have to take advantage of when it does happen. What if it doesn't happen? What if you don't get the opportunity?
Don't get frustrated with it. Right. Don't get frustrated with it, where if you're on the punt return team or you're on the kickoff return team, right, and you're just sitting there going, man, we're just not getting a chance. We're not getting a chance. And that's where you kind of just like, oh, okay, another touchback or another punt out of bounds. And all of a sudden that's the one you return. You don't want to get caught sleeping. Right. You have to continue to take every single rep. Like, that's the rep that's going to change the game on special teams, because now that you're a weapon, like I said, people are going to stop letting it happen, but you never know when your next one's going to happen. So just staying with the process, trusting with it, and not getting lazy of, oh, well, they're not kicking to us. And then all of a sudden that's the one where you're a half step late on your block. That could have been the touchdown block that could have flipped the whole game. You just have to continue to stay with that over and over again.
You kind of surprised it's taken this long?
Yes, honestly. Yeah, I mean, I thought after the Maryland game, we were never going to get another kick return opportunity again, as long as the kicker could boom it out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm assuming your player to watch is probably going to be TJ Lateef.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, TJ Lateef is going to be the player to watch this week.
How about defensively? Who could be a guy that could disrupt Nico and what Nico likes to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think William Winery is a guy that's continuing to press it and get better with his pass rushing ability, but he's going to be a guy that we're going to need to be able to get to Nico and then get him on the ground. Right? He's been really close. He was even close on Maiava a few times this week of just getting to him, but he's a half step late or the ball just got out. Right, so he needs to find a way to create another half second in his pass rush so that he can get there in 2.5 seconds and not 3 seconds and actually finish that with a sack and not just a hit or a pressure.
All right, well, we saw the Searles Clan Halloween costumes. Did you guys make a haul on the candy? How are you divvying that out? Are they eating all of it? Or you?
Oh gosh, no. So we do a trade in barter system here. So they get to keep 20 pieces of candy, and then after that, they get to trade the rest of their candy in for a toy from Target. So they got all their toys because the last thing we need is all that candy. First, I'm talking about myself here. I don't need all that candy sitting in the house because I don't have what most people call self-control. And so I will eat all of the Reese's peanut butter cups that are in those bags, whether they're mine or my kids. So we had to get the candy out for my sake.
So then what do you do with the candy? You just throw it away?
Throw it away.
Oh.
I mean, it's not good for you. It's poison, Jessica. It's not good. Or at least that's what my wife says, is I still have my bag that I snuck 20 of them as well. So.
Couldn't let go of all the Reese's.
Not all the Reese's.
Awesome. Good stuff. As always, this has been the Sideline Slice presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. We'll be back again next week to break this one all down for you.
Go Big Red.
Valentino's treasured Italian family recipes have been passed down for generations and still locally owned and operated. Valentino's proudly serving Nebraskans in Memorial Stadium for over 30 years.